This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello, and welcome to episode 179. I'm Chris Stafford. And later on in the program, Dolly Hannon will be here with some tips to help you ensure that your music enhances your freestyle ride. And before that, Peggy Klump, who is the longtime chair of the USDF Awards Committee, will be here to tell us about the new Adequan USDF Adult Amateur Musical Freestyle Award. But first, as always, we'd like to remind you that the views of the host and guests of this podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of the USDF or its members. We have one item of news this week, and that is that the USDF is very sad to learn of the passing of American dressage pioneer Judith Noon, who passed away on March the 20th at the age of 79. Mrs. Noon helped to establish the USDF's Junior Young Rider program and was instrumental in advancing competitive opportunities and educational programs for adult riders. In 2003, the then USDF President Sam Barish named Mrs. Noon as one of the USDF's 20 most influential members. And you can find a full obituary in the May issue of the USDF's Connection magazine. And now to our first guest. Beginning in the 2018 competition year, the USDF will offer a new year-end award, the Adequan USDF Adult Amateur Musical Freestyle Award. And Peggy Klump, who is the longtime chair of the USDF Awards Committee, is here now to explain the new award. Peggy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Very happy to be able to provide listeners with the exciting new information regarding the Adult Amateur Musical Freestyle Award.
Well, fabulous. Well, there are a lot of aspects to this, of course. So where would you like to begin?
I'd like to explain to the members that this is an additional and a new program for the adult amateur in the freestyle division. And what that means is that riders across the board, professional riders, adult amateurs, as well as juniors and young riders, all of those scores add up for the Adequan USDF Musical Freestyle. This new award, starting in 2018, is actually an additional award so that adult amateur riders will have two chances to be in the standings.
Do you want to outline the timelines for the requirements?
Sure. Just like the longstanding freestyle awards, these awards for adult amateur riders on one horse, it's basically the horse rider team, will be eligible for at first, second, third, and fourth levels, as well as the two FEI levels, Intermediate 1 and Grand Prix. Just remember, just because you're listed in the Adult Amateur Freestyle Award standings, you will also be listed in the Freestyle Award standings, which is really exciting. The awards committee decided to recommend that we establish this program to honor those particular adult amateurs, since they seem to be the bulk of the USDF membership, with this additional award. And it is its own standalone award. So the amateurs who qualify will be ranked on the website for this award. And if they have any questions about that, they should certainly check with Kristen Brown, who is the awards coordinator for USDF in the main office. A couple of other things I'd like to point out. Since this is a new program, the best reference material for this award is to check the 2018 USDF member guide.
What else do they need to know then to take part in this award, Peggy?
The horse must be registering with USDF, and the rider and the owner must be participating in his membership. The good news with this award, all those riders who meet that criteria will be eligible. In this case, they need a minimum of 3 freestyle scores. They have to be judged by 3 different judges. And of course, the scores must be earned within this competition year, 1 October through 30 September. So again, I really encourage the listeners, because there are requirements for both USEF and USDF, that you take a chance and look those up. For this particular award, I'd like to point out the horse and the rider are considered a pair. That's a little different than the freestyle award. If your trainer rides the horse, or maybe a junior rides the horse, as well as the adult amateur, all of those scores, because it's a USDF freestyle award, will go follow that particular horse. In this case, for this particular award, the adult amateur freestyle, the horse and the rider are considered a pair. Good news is that those riders that are very successful can earn both awards.
Will these awards be offered at the Otaquin USDF All Breeds Awards?
Yes, if the particular association is interested in offering it. I recommend that our listeners check with them, because each individual All Breed has the ability to offer the program if they so choose.
And what about if your listing doesn't show up, even if you've met all the requirements, what should you do?
Okay, that's a really good question. This year early, since we're doing this early in 2018, usually by the mid-spring and early summer, the standings for those horse and rider combinations that are eligible will be ranked. Those rankings can change all year long. So I strongly recommend that if you believe you've met the criteria, just check the standings. And if there's any question, contact the USDF.
So what happens if I have earned an award? How will I receive it?
Just like all of the other USDF awards, the top recipients can, in fact, go to the awards banquet. Now, we only do provide the presentation at the gala for the first and second place recipients, or you can have them mailed to you by USDF.
Finally, any other thoughts or ideas about this, and any suggestions that you would like to share with the members, Peggy? Anything else that they need to know?
One of the things that I really do recommend competitors do in the freestyle division, the same day you've earned your score, be sure to add up the points on your score sheet before you ever leave the show grounds. In at least two situations, myself personally in showing freestyles, the scoring office made a mistake. And if you leave the show grounds without making it correct, whatever score was posted does count. It's because mistakes do happen. Very important that you have made sure that you're listed as an amateur within the USEF-USDF system. I think those are the most important things that I can tell people. Making sure that your membership is current, making sure that if you're riding a horse that's owned by somebody different, that the owner is a current member, be sure that you check those details. So I hope this information has been really helpful for our competitors.
Well, that's very helpful, and thank you very much indeed, Peggy. As Peggy said, you can find more information by contacting the office there if you'd like to know more about the Adult Amateur Musical Freestyle Award that's been introduced this competition year. Peggy, thank you very much for taking the time to come on the program and tell us about it.
You're very welcome.
And now in our education segment, we have an excerpt from the Judges L Education Program and Freestyle Open Forum that was held during the 2017 Otaquin USDF Annual Convention. Freestyle Committee Chair and USEF Senior Judge Janet Dolly Hannon talks about how to make sure your program is presented correctly and what to do if there is a music failure during your test.
There's a big interest in freestyle, especially the lower level freestyles in this country, and we're very excited to see this growth. And we have a lot to talk about. One main thing that's happened that's caused a lot of confusion with the freestyle evolution is that in the past, transitions from a higher level were allowed, and they're not anymore. So when in doubt, I know I get questions all the time about, well, the music tells me to do whatever it is. And if I put in some trot steps between my walk to canter, it doesn't look good. Believe me, you're always much better off to make sure that what you're doing is clearly allowed than to worry about if the judge is going to notice that you didn't quite hit the music at the exact moment. So you need to be clear about what is allowed and what is not allowed. And it is the competitor's responsibility. So when in doubt, just don't do it. It's not going to make that much difference in terms of your choreography and degree of difficulty scores. If you clearly go from walk to canter in a first level freestyle, you're going to get a 4-point deduction, plus your choreography and potentially your degree of difficulty scores will go down as well. So it's become very important that we keep talking about this, because there's still some confusion. I mean, we get questions all the time. We cannot list every possibility. So that's where sometimes there's confusion for both the judges and the competitors, in that we can't list every possible thing someone could ever have thought of that could be included, because there's not enough room on the score sheets. So you want to just just when in doubt, just in terms of in general advice, keep your freestyle simple and clear. If the judge knows what you're doing, and Gary has said this so many times, I don't even know, but many times, the simplest pattern in terms of clarity and correct technical execution wins the freestyle. Sometimes, and I've done it too, we try to be creative and it doesn't work. It's confusing, and now with the deduction, you could incur a penalty, and now with the clarification on what that means for the directives for the judges for choreography and degree of difficulty, it's going to be a big hit. So everybody needs to really come up to speed with understanding what that means. And when in doubt, contact the freestyle committee. And I'm going to talk a little bit about music failure. This has been a big complaint. Music systems, not providing a music system, and what happens when the music fails. So if you read the rules and you read the rules, guidelines, and definitions on the USDF site, you get a pretty good understanding of what the expectation is. And the competitors are ultimately responsible. One of the main complaints we had this year was about music failure. And I just think that it seems to be a real area of confusion for people. What do we do? And I do think, too, that the shows really need to take these lower-level freestyle seriously, because this has become a big deal. This is a huge goal for many people, to show their freestyle at the finals. So the finals have kind of changed the game for everyone, and we need to make sure we have an adequate sound system, and that the person playing the music understands what should happen. So we're going to recommend, it's not a rule, it's a guideline, but we're going to recommend that the competitors turn in 2 CDs in enough time before the class, probably a minimum of 2 hours, that they can be cataloged and in order, and the sound person knows what the order of the classes is going to be. Right now, apparently, some shows allow music to be emailed. Some shows allow someone to give them their phone. That's against the rules. The rules are very clear. CDs, and it's in a wave format. The thumb drives can be corrupted quite easily, so there's a problem with the thumb drives. As of right now, the rule is that it must be presented in a CD format. And I think one thing, too, that's also caused issues is that if you go to the show and you hand them your CDs and then you go to the sound check, is the sound check performed off the CD or off the music that's been downloaded onto someone's computer? So the shows need to be sure that it's one way or the other. Either the sound checks with all the CDs or the sound checks with the downloaded music. But if it's not, if you do a sound check off your CD and then it's downloaded and somehow corrupted, it can be very different. So there have been quite a few instances of music failure, too loud, too soft. Too loud's a big issue. If you're judging and you have to scream at your scribe, it's a big problem. So competitors, don't ask for the music to be played too loud. It does not increase the impact. It makes the judge want to shoot themselves. So it's not. And I had a scribe quit. I had a scribe say, you know what? I have hearing loss. I can't do this. And she was going to leave. I had to beg her to stay, but she was going to leave. Don't go into the middle of the ring, and don't have your earbuds in to listen to the trainer up in the stands talking to you, because that's another thing I noticed at one show. The competitors were there for the sound check. They had their earbuds in. They were thinking about their choreography, and they couldn't even hear how loud the music was. So, just in general, don't just stand in the middle of the ring. Have a representative go near the judge's booth and listen to the volume, because I can't tell you how loud it can be at times. Let's talk a little bit about what to do when the music fails. You want to make sure your music's recorded on a CD where the sound levels have been checked and adjusted and balanced, because if the music is recorded at different levels, and this is one thing that I think there's some confusion about. Sometimes as a designer, someone puts in a big crescendo. Depending on the sound system, if all the horses are spooking at the speakers behind the judge, the sound person may adjust the levels. Now, most of the time, you can't tell. But if someone's inexperienced, perhaps it could be a real issue. And we don't want to take away the freestyle competitors' ability to interpret the music and have some dynamics to their freestyle. At the same time, sometimes, I mean, every freestyle sound technician that I've talked to says they do adjust the music to some degree if the horses are spooking, if they can't get anywhere near B or E because there was a speaker there. You know, we know they're going to spook at C because that's where we're sitting. But if they're spooking at the speaker specifically, the music is too loud, which is just another little aside. If you're showing a freestyle, make sure your horse can handle the volume. If you ride just with your, you know, earbuds in and then you turn the music way up, many horses spook. So think about it. I mean, think about it from the horse's point of view. It needs to be, I mean, it's exciting enough with the show environment if they're not used to louder music. I rode with a portable speaker and I turned it up as loud as it went on me so that my horse would at least be used to hearing that music fairly loud in close proximity. If there's a problem with the sound system, if there's a problem with how the music was downloaded, if it's a problem with how it's being played through a computer or a laptop, that's another issue. But in terms of not having a backup CD, that's your responsibility. I've had people say, oh, well, you know, I have one down the road, it's at the barn. I'll be back about 20 minutes. And you can't do that. You can't disrupt the whole show. So two CDs really should be presented. And if it were me, I'd have a third one at the show ring, just in case. Go to the sound check. In talking again to some of our top announcers, one of the number one complaints they have is people don't go to the sound check. And there were some complaints this year about sound checks not being available at a reasonable time. So, for example, someone shows on Sunday and they have to trailer in and the sound check is on Tuesday or Wednesday at a regional finals. That was a problem. So, show managers, please be considerate of what the schedule is. It's not really reasonable to ask someone to come for a sound check on Tuesday when they don't show till Sunday. Maybe there needs to be more than one. Before you enter the ring, everyone should have music to enter the ring with. Every once in a while, someone will just walk in and stop, and you're thinking, are you kidding me? Because if there were a problem, let's say it's not your music. Let's say it's so loud your horse spins around and won't come in. That's the time to signal the sound booth, not once you're in there. So if it, you know, have music to enter, it sets the tone. It should be attention getting without scaring your horse to death. So, I mean, think a little bit about your horse's temperament. Can they handle more exciting music? Do they need soothing music? What do they need? Before you enter the ring, if the music's too loud or soft, you can signal the sound person, adjust it up or down. Better yet, you're allowed to have a representative in the sound booth. They should know, you know, if you're looking panicked and looking at them, they should, you know, that's another option in terms of adjusting volumes. You can have a representative in the sound booth that could serve your interests there and help you. If you're about to enter the ring and the wrong music comes in up, do not enter the ring. If you know it's not your music, don't go in the arena. I mean, really, we have people that come in and they're going, wait a minute, that's not my music. And you're thinking, well, you knew that. And the judge will say, oh, okay, well, wrong music. Signal the sound person, tell them it's not your music. Raise your hand when you're sure they have the correct music and start over. The judge will ring the bell or blow the whistle again. The judge will understand. If they don't or there's a problem, go tell them what the issue is. If the music fails or there's a power outage during your ride or it's impossible to hear it, stop and go talk to the judge. We have no idea. We don't know. I mean, if there's a skip in the music, let's say it skipped out half your walk and suddenly there you are thinking, oh my gosh, my walk music's gone. You have the right to stop and approach the judge and say, there was a skip in my music. My walk section is gone. I need to start over. And as long as you have another CD that works correctly, you can do that. You have a right to do that, but you have to tell the judge. Again, we do not know if there's a problem. You can request to come back when your second CD is tested and it works and finish your freestyle. There have been one or two instances where someone, this happened and the competitor approached the judge and the judge said, oh, well, you know, I've heard your music, just finish it. And I'll score what I've seen. Now, if this was at the very end, this happened to me one time, very end, heard all three pieces of music, was a lower level freestyle. Everything scored, we're ready to go, and then suddenly there was some sort of a failure. Do you really need to come in again and repeat your last center line to the hall? Maybe not. But if it fails early, yes, that's not fair. I mean, I would never ask someone to just keep going, unless it was near the very end of the freestyle. Show management will tell you when to come back, either during a break or at the end of the day. It's really difficult if this happens more than once. The show gets further and further behind. So then the people in subsequent classes really get penalized. So this having the music work is really quite important. Videos may not be used to prove an omission. Let's say the judge said you did two pirouettes to the left and you're sure you did one to the left and one to the right. When you get your score sheet back in this instance, you would get a zero for the one you didn't do, plus it would affect your choreography, possibly your degree of difficulty score, depending on what it is. If you didn't do a circle, does that really affect your degree of difficulty? Possibly not, but if you forget a pirouette one direction, that's a big problem. So if, hypothetically, that happened, you can, through the TD, go and talk to the judge, but you can't come up and say, oh, by the way, here's my video, and I did it, because videos are not allowed to be used in that way, okay? But you can talk to the judge, and I've had it happen once or twice. Most of the time, it doesn't happen if the choreography is clear. If you clearly have more than 20 meters of your required walk consecutively, not broken into two pieces, big mistake. If you know you did at least 12 meters of shoulder in, I mean, if it says minimum 12 meters, do 15 or 18. I mean, just think about it. How long does it take for your horse to get into a movement? Where did you place it? Can the judge even see it? I had someone once who I gave a zero for a shoulder in right because she did it in the short end. And I kept looking, and I'm like, well, okay, no shoulder in. And, of course, she got a zero, came to talk to me, and I said, well, there was no shoulder in. She said, oh, yeah, I did it in the short end. And I said, what? I mean, the whole short end, but still. I mean, anyway, make it clear. You can be creative. You can use the quarter lines, the center lines. There's things you can do for creativity, but don't make it so obscure that the judge has no idea what you're doing, because it happens, unfortunately. So you could talk to the judge, but in general, especially if there's a panel, and we all hope that there's more panel judging, because let me tell you, I know many competitors think that it's a problem when the judges talk to each other, but we have to be on the same page. So the judge at C always has the authority, and let's say the judge is on the side. If they come to C, they're wondering if they missed a movement. Collaboration is not a bad thing. It's only a positive thing. I mean, it may... You know, I guess you know there could be some lowering of a score if somebody missed something, but it doesn't mean that the one judge is insecure. It means that the judge at C has the final say. So if the judge on the side has a question, they have to approach the judge at C. We're required to do that. All right, I think it's important for you to know that. If you forget to include a required movement and you realize it, have your choreography designed so that there was a little extra time. An extra diagonal, maybe a medium trot or something. If you have tempis in your test, an extra line where you could do that. Think about it, because if you've forgotten something and suddenly you think, uh-oh, or you get off your music, that would be a place to fix that. You really don't want to miss any of your required movements. It makes our job very difficult. I will say, the judge does not know your choreography. Now, in FEI, at the top level now, they must submit their floor plan. That's not required. We don't know it. So it's good and bad. So if you know you've forgotten something, wing it. Coming down the center line, you think, you know, I'm not sure I did enough shoulder in. Ride a shoulder in into your halt. We don't care. Just make sure everything's covered. And try to hit your halt at the end. There's nothing that looks worse than either the music stopped and you're still riding around, or you stop and you stand there for a long time waiting. And there's really no way to entertain the judge at that moment. You know? I mean, you are showing your horse is submissive, hopefully, standing there, but it doesn't look good. So just, you know, think about it. If you have to add a circle in, fine, just realize it will be scored, okay? And many tests have way too many circles. And very many people are very proud of their flying changes, lots of flying changes. Each one has to be scored. So just kind of think about the judge's job at that moment. That ending comment talks about the impact. When you finish and you land on the music and you salute on the last note, everybody says, oh, okay, good for you. So think about that. The freestyle is so much fun. I did one myself a year ago. and it was a blast. I hadn't realized it had been 12 years since I'd ridden freestyle. It was great. I loved it. I really felt like I could show my lovely horse and appreciate my horse. So, and it's a big goal for many people. I get many letters, and I've got a letter here from a woman who said this has been her life's goal. And 20 years later, she finally did a freestyle and had a very positive experience. So there are definitely positives out there. We just have to keep all working together to make it better so that, you know, we're all on the same page and not wondering how we were assessed or what the judge might want to see.
And if you'd like more information on this topic, the freestyle page on the website under competition has several resources for freestyle competitors and judges. And there'll also be a link in the show notes accompanying this episode. And finally this week, a reminder that nominations are being accepted for participating member delegates in all regions until April the 15th, 2018. To accept the nomination and to be elected, a PM delegate nominee must be a current USDF participating member, have a permanent residence and reside in the region for which they are running as a candidate, and also attend the 2018 USDF Annual Convention, which will be held in Salt Lake City, Utah. PM delegates serve a one-year term from the time of election in mid-year 2018 until the election in mid-year 2019. And nominations are being accepted for USDF President, Treasurer, and Regional Director in Regions 2, 4, 6, and 8 until June 1st, 2018. Nominations for these Executive Board positions will also be accepted from the floor of the Board of Governors meeting at the 2018 Adequan USDF Annual Convention in Salt Lake City, Utah. All nominations, in addition to any inquiries regarding nominations, should be sent to nominations@usdf.org. And that is our show for this week. Don't forget you can download this podcast to any podcast player or app from iTunes or any other podcast player, so you can take the show with you. And if you're listening to the show on the website, be sure to visit eTrack for educational resources and information. And if you'd like to know when the next episode of the podcast is available, be sure to follow us on social media at USDF. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.